of the hour news. As it happens, when it happens, wherever it happens. Local, regional, and global. Only on Q95, the big station. Q95DA.com. Right on cue.
Good morning. This is the morning news for today, Tuesday, July 7th, 2020. I'm your presenter, Hassan Robinson. Here are the headlines. Attorney Earl Williams Esquire hints at constitutional irregularities and violations as it relates to the recent cabinet approval of rent of $32,000 a month for living space for Dominica's Prime Minister Roosevelt Skerritt. And the Virgin Islands Health Department reported 13 new COVID-19 cases after reporting 8 new cases between Wednesday and Thursday, bringing the territory to 111 plus confirmed positive test results. And China has warned the UK not to interfere with Hong Kong following the imposition of a controversial new national security law, as one pro-democracy campaigner begged for international support. The news is brought to you for the very kind compliments of Digicel. The details of these stories and more coming up next.
Local, regional, and global. Only on Q95, the big station. Q95DA.com. Right on cue.
We know how important it is for you to stay connected with all that is happening. That's why Digicel gives you more ways to top up. You can add credit or bundles to your account online by visiting digiceldominica.com or downloading the My Digicel app. Stay safe and stay connected. Digicel.
Yo, what's up?
Bro. If you're on any top-up vendor, put $20 Digicel top-up for me. Right now, it's tight for me to leave them.
You know you can do some of these transactions on your phone?
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, man. Go to My Digicel app. If you don't have it, download it. Here's the directions. Launch the app. Press top-up. Enter your number. Press continue. Then you put in your amount. Press checkout. Then select the payment method, debit or credit. Then press pay now. You're done. That's it.
Gaza, thank you. Boy, you sung it just like a radio ad.
Ha, no problem, bro. I hear that all the time.
Top up, purchase plans, or send credit using the My Digicel app. Get it now from Google Play or Apple Store.
Digicel.
And welcome back. What we do on God's earth is to try and improve every day. These are some of the words of a former cooperative executive, a Margaret MP, and leader of the parliamentary opposition, Lennox Linton. The Margaret MP highlighted the predicament in which Dominican citizens have placed themselves by voting a Roosevelt Skerritt DLP administration into office. Speaking on the Workers' Voice program on Wednesday, Linton zeroed in on the housing chaos being created by the DLP administration as unemployment is on the rise in Dominica, he says.
When we look at Dominica today, we lament the lack of progress among the citizens of Dominica. The citizens of Dominica, compared to the citizens of other countries in the region, appeared to be those who are doing the worst in terms of being able to provide for themselves, being able to build up themselves, being able to grow their families, being able to extend themselves out into the world and enjoy life on planet Earth. See the world, being able to move around and so on, be able to enjoy a high standard of living. What we do on God's Earth is try to get better, you know, every day with what we do. We've come here to improve, to advance, to enhance life. And it seems that it has just become more and more difficult in Dominica. So today in Dominica, we're boasting giving apartments to people. Good thing, but where is their title deed? Do they own it? What are you going to tell them a few months down the road when you feel that things have changed and force you into a different kind of situation where you may be requiring to look at some austerity now because your revenues are down, et cetera, et cetera? What are you going to tell them? But essentially, you're putting a lot of people into homes with no source of income, whose livelihoods have been destroyed. So a poor person or a poor family in a home is a poor person, a poor family in a home. Without a means of livelihood, without a job, without some way of earning money, they're going to struggle in the home or out of the home. So it's good that they have the home, but what next? The home alone cannot do it.
And that was a former cooperative executive, Margaret MP, and leader of the parliamentary opposition, Lennox Linton. And attorney at law Earl Williams, Esquire, speaks on the possibility of a constitutional irregularities or violations as it relates to the recent cabinet approval of $32,000 a month for rental of residential accommodation for Dominica's Prime Minister, Roosevelt Skerritt. Mr. Williams says the discussion on the matter of the official residence for whomever occupies the office of Prime Minister is not exclusively related to Roosevelt Skerritt, but rather the matter is pertaining to the office of the Prime Minister. The issue in question is whether or not Parliament has given the green light to place the state under such tremendous expense, and on what grounds do they intend to justify in doing so, he says.
When we are discussing the residence for the Prime Minister, it has nothing to do with Roosevelt Skerritt. It has to do with the office. And based on our constitution, anybody above the age of 21 years can be Prime Minister of Dominica. I think we should have residence, official residence, for the office of the Prime Minister. Whoever is the holder of that office should be given official residence. So when people take it personal to Skerritt, they need to understand, between 2000 and 2004, we had four different Prime Ministers. So the issue of residence for a Prime Minister is not directed at any person. Reggie Ostrey, who would comment on it, can be the next Prime Minister. We don't know what could happen to Prime Minister Roosevelt Skerritt. There is also petitions before the court now, and the petitions can go in favor of the petitioners. And who knows, Earl Williams can be in that house in the next few years. So when we're discussing that issue, we don't need to personalize it. We need to look at the office. Now, we need to look at whether or not at this time Parliament has given any authority for housing by the state, on behalf of the Prime Minister.
He says Section 77 of the Constitution makes it clear that the laws are granted permission via appropriation during the national budget season.
And when you look at the Constitution 77, it clearly tells us that no money shall be withdrawn from the consolidated fund except to meet expenditure that is charged upon the fund by this constitution or by any law enacted by Parliament, or where the issue of those monies has been authorized by an appropriation law. Where do we get our appropriation law? We get our appropriation law during what we call the budget time. During budget time, Parliament votes on the different heads, and we vote on what we call the appropriation law, which authorized the staff, the financial staff, the entire ministry, in paying for whatever happened in Dominica during that year. It pays salaries, it pays recurrent expenditure, we pay for projects of some of the expenditures we had in terms of roads, in terms of building bridges. That's the time where we have the appropriation law. Any money is outside of the appropriation law, there are rules, it has to be unforeseen, it has to be urgent. And clearly this expenditure is not an urgent one or one that's unforeseen. So while we have a cabinet approval, it is not yet law that this money can be spent. And if this money is, we are also guided by the Finance and Audit Act again. Section 3 of the Finance and Audit Act also tells us no money shall be withdrawn from the consolidated fund or other public funds of the state except upon the authority of a warrant under the hand of the minister, and no such warrant shall be issued for the purpose of meeting any expenditure other than statutory expenditure, unless that expenditure has been authorized by an appropriation act for the financial year during which the withdrawal is to take place.
He then went on to suggest that the opposition leader write a letter to the Accountant General and stated the legal framework by which the AG can prevent this $30,000 expenditure to go forth.
So there are clear defined rules how money can be spent. So as such, this $32,000, Matt, cannot be spent in that manner. And I know the leader of the opposition have sent a letter, but you need to send another letter as well, maybe as chairman of public committee, to the accountant general, because the accountant general under the Finance Administration Act number 4 of 1994, section 5, subsection 3C, it states there, without prejudice to the generality of the duties imposed on him as the Accountant General by subsection 1 and subject to the powers conferred on the Minister by section 3 and on the Final Secretary by section 4, the Accountant General shall, and we see, refuse payment for any voucher, wrong or insufficient in contempt or which contravenes financial regulation, procurement and stores regulation, or any other regulations, directions or instructions properly made or given under the provisions of this Act. So since it didn't follow any procurement, since there is no statutory authority, since it's not part of the appropriations last year, the Accountant General can prevent such an expenditure. So the Accountant General should be written to.
And that was Attorney at Law Earl Williams, Esquire. And the Caribbean Community, or CARICOM, Secretary General Ambassador Erwin LaRock delivered his CARICOM Day 2020 speech message. In his address, Mr. LaRock says that CARICOM Day 2020 is like no other in our history, and that so far we have demonstrated the capacity for resilience, which has been the hallmark of our response to the numerous challenges we have faced over time. This year marks the 47th anniversary of CARICOM, what we have demonstrated time and time again in the face of persistent devastation from natural disasters is a steely resilience and an ability to rebound and restart.
CARICOM Day 2020 is like no other in our history. We celebrate today in an environment dominated by the continuing health and economic effects of the COVID-19 pandemic. Let me, at the outset, extend my deepest condolences to those who have lost loved ones, and I wish a speedy recovery to those afflicted by the disease. This is a time that is testing us as a people. We have done relatively well in addressing the COVID-19 pandemic. So far, we have demonstrated that capacity for resilience, which has been the hallmark of our response to the numerous challenges we have faced over time. This year marks the 47th anniversary of CARICOM, and in that time, there is much of which we can be proud. We have made strides in improving the lives of our people within the four pillars of our integration movement, namely economic integration, human and social development, foreign policy coordination, and security cooperation. Our membership has become more diverse, with Dutch-speaking Suriname and French-speaking Haiti added to our previously all English-speaking grouping.
He says that the bedrock of that characteristic is the spirit and determination of a Caribbean people and the banding together of our member states in times of adversity, as it is that spirit of togetherness and determination that will help to extricate us from this latest assault on our efforts to build a safe combination.
The success of the combined efforts in combating the challenge of COVID-19 is evidence not only of the competence and skill of our Caribbean people, but also of the value of a united region. We need that coordination of our collective skill and spirit more than ever as we take on the major challenge of rebuilding our devastated economies, which have been ravaged by the effects of the pandemic. We must exploit every opportunity provided by the CARICOM single market and economy in rebuilding our economies. What we have demonstrated time and again in the face of persistent devastation from natural disasters is a steely resilience and an ability to rebound and restart. The bedrock of that characteristic is the spirit and determination of Caribbean people and the banding together of our member states in times of diversity. It is that spirit of togetherness and determination that will help to extricate us from this latest assault on our efforts to build a safe, secure, and prosperous community that benefits all of our citizens. As we celebrate our anniversary, let us reflect on what each of us can do to keep our community safe and to contribute to the revival of our economies. Stay safe. Happy CARICOM Day.
And that was the Caribbean Community Secretary General Ambassador Erwin LaRocque. And Pastor Randy Rodney opined on the outgoing so-called pyramid scheme presently circulating in Dominica, as Rodney was a guest on the Hot Seat program on Monday morning, and he gave an analytical synopsis of the scheme as it exists now in juxtaposition to what is locally called a sub. He says there is no organized central place of distribution, and when the cycle is exhausted, those at the bottom of that scheme will likely have lost their investments. He says one option may be to implement a safeguard or to ensure perpetuity by doing what is known as capping. Otherwise, once there is a lack of reinvestment or continuity, the scheme bottoms out and the last set of people may not get any returns.
What I'm understanding by what is now around the place is people providing monies to others without a center, without an organization, right? So it's not like we bring the money to Matt and Matt decides who's going to get the money or the processes who and so on who's getting money. It's people bringing monies to other people. Now, when I studied it, the downside, the problem with this is when you would have exhausted people to bring into the whole scheme, if you like. Otherwise, if I were to provide an advice, I would say cap it. In my understanding, the difference here is every person is not paying the sub amount. Because usually if you have a sub, you have, let's say you have 10 people, each person pays $100, then at the time for everybody's hand, they get $1,000. There's nothing illegal about that, okay? Everybody gets $1,000. What I see here is everybody, this person gets $1,000 now, but you need to keep increasing that for each person to get $1,000. The hope that, from talking to the people, is that some of the people who got before will rejoin. So there'll be continuity. Once the continuity ends, it bottoms out, and the last set of people will not get.
He explained the process by which money is rotated and distributed and a lack of legal grounding by which it is standing. Necessity is the mother of invention, he says, as there are many persons who will do anything to acquire some income.
Here's what it is. It is 8 people giving you money, right? Now, and then you and another 7 give another set of people money. It is not I give you $100 and you give me back $800. It is not that. And that is why I am saying, unless somebody shows me in black and white what the legislation is, I am not going to just pull a thing of the pigment of my imagination and say that's what it is, which is what a lot of people are doing. It is this and it is that and it is the other. 2 things about that, and I'm going to get flack for it, maybe for a different reason. Necessity is the mode of invention. There are people who are at a place where they will do anything for a buck, right? Having said this, nobody must do something that's illegal, even if they are so needy, right? They must not do something that is illegal. When you look at this, you have to find the legal basis for saying that that's what it is. And I challenge a lawyer to explain to me that that's what it is, because it's not providing funds. If I understand the financial law very well and what I've read, it is not like me giving you money and you promise to give me 150% back. That's not what it is. It is 7 of us or 8 of us giving you money, then you and 7 others give somebody else's money, and that's how it goes. The problem with that, like I said, is if there is no continuum, it's going to bottom out. Once it bottoms out, it's going to crash.
And that was a Pastor Randy Rodney. And Caricham, the Network of Caribbean Chambers of Commerce, elected a Dr. Thackeray Dax Driver as a President and Chief Executive Officer of the Trinidad and Tobago Energy Chamber as its new chairperson, along with Mr. Andrew Statney, Executive Director or ED of the St. Kitts and Nevis Chamber of Commerce, as its new Vice Chair. This first annual general meeting was held on June 29th. This succeeded Ms. Lizra Fabian, ED of the Dominica Association of Industry and Commerce, and Mr. Trevor Ferron, former CEO of the Jamaica Chamber of Commerce, who functioned as a chair and vice chair during the network's first year of operations. Dr. Driver says that over his tenure in office, he would continue to thrust the tenure and to ensure that the CARICHAM adds value to chambers, members of firms despite the negative impacts of COVID-19 and as we prepare to mitigate to the potential impacts of the 2020 hurricane season. Outgoing chairperson, Ms. Lizer Fabian, highlighted some of the major achievements of a CARICHAM during this first year since its launch. The networks expanded by 5 chambers to 21 to include Bahamas, the British Virgin Islands, Dominican Republic, Guadeloupe and St. Martin. This growth of the network saw an expansion of opportunities, resources and expertise to advance core objectives of the chambers and to include the advocacy and enhance membership value. And also in local news, an AFP story appearing in Jamaica Observer indicates that the United States would not allow foreign students to remain in the country if all their classes are moved online in the fall of the coronavirus crisis. U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement is reported to have said in a statement that nominant or non-immigrants F1 and M1 students attending schools operating entirely online may not take a full online course load and remain in the United States. According to ICE, F1 students pursue academic coursework and M1 students pursue vocational coursework. The report also indicated that students in such programs must depart from the country or take other measures such as a transfer into a school with in-person instructions to remain in a lawful status. And in other news, the Virgin Islands Health Department reported 13 new COVID-19 cases on Friday after reporting 8 new cases between Wednesday and Thursday. That brings the territory to 111 confirmed positive cases results, although the true number includes people who have not yet been tested and the real number is somewhat higher. The health department numbers suggest a recent block of tests may have come back with a high positive rate. As of Thursday, health reports that 3,164 persons had been tested, of whom 98 had tested positive for the virus, with 103 testing positive or pending. Friday, health reported 3,173 persons have been tested, with only 9 more. Since the beginning of the pandemic, the cumulative rate of USVI positive tests results in 3.1% of all tests prior to this particular jump in the numbers. There have been 6 fatalities within the territory, plus University of the Virgin Island employee who left the territory while ill and died in the United States. And China has warned the UK not to interfere with Hong Kong following the imposition of a new controversial national security law, as one of pro-democracy campaigner begged for international support. Ambassador Liu Xiaoming says that the UK's offer a path of citizenship for up to 3 million Hong Kongers amongst the gross interference, as the offer came after Beijing brought into a controversial and sweeping new law.
So we want to be your friend. We want to be your partner. But if you want to make China a hostile country, you have to bear the consequences.
We still hope to encourage more people continue to engage in the democracy movement. Even they ban my book in public library, they can't ignore and silence the voice of Hong Kong people. With the belief of Hong Kong people to fight for freedom, we will never give up and surrender to Beijing.
The real issue here is one of trust and whether China can be trusted to live up to its international obligations and its international responsibilities. And that's a message that we're telegraphing along with many of our allies and indeed many international partners around the world to Beijing, particularly in relation to what we've seen in Hong Kong.
And that's the morning news. Here's a recap of our headlines. Attorney Earl Williams Esquire hints at constitutional irregularities or violation as it relates to the recent cabinet approval of rent of $32,000 a month for living space for Dominica's Prime Minister Roosevelt Skerritt. And the Virgin Islanders Health Department reported 13 new COVID-19 cases after reporting 8 new cases between Wednesday and Thursday, bringing the territory to 111 plus confirmed positive test results. And China has warned the UK not to interfere with Hong Kong following the imposition of a controversial new national security law, as one pro-democracy campaigner begged for international support. The news was brought to you for the very kind compliments of Digicel. The details you've heard have been your presenter, Hassan Robinson.
Q, top of the hour news. As it happens, when